You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshie on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Listening to African Perspectives, where we view the issues of our day from an African worldview and African-centered perspective. This program is unapologetically African. It is a custom in the African tradition to ask elders for permission to speak, having been granted permission. To our ancestors, whose shoulders we stand on, to our elders, whose shadows we walk in, I greet you, my dear brothers and sisters. In the language of one of the greatest civilizations on this planet, it gave the world the basic disciplines of knowledge of science, math, architecture, music, writing, law, religion, you name it, we did it. The Greeks called it Egypt, but they called themselves Kemet, and Kemet means land of the blacks. I greet you all in the Kemetic language, the word of peace, Hotep. It is truly an honor and a privilege to pour libation because we truly do stand on the shoulders of those who came before us. We're going to use water because water has no enemies. Water is the great cleanser, the great purifier. Everything on the planet that lives, it needs water, from a tiny microscopic organism to a tall redwood tree. We pour water into the earth to invoke the spirits of our ancestors, and we say the word Ashe, which simply means so be it. So we pour this libation to God, for all that God has done and for all that God will do. We say, Ashe. We pour this libation to Mother Africa, birthplace of all humanity, everyone who has lived, everyone who will live in the future. We all have a common ancestral root in Africa. We pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. I mentioned Kemet in the opening. Kemet was the height, the apex, the zenith of African high culture. But there were others as well, as Timari, Punt, and Nubia. So we pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa, of Ghana, Mali, Songhai, Benin, Great Zimbabwe. Civilizations that were flourishing and growing while Europe was in a medieval or dark age. The University of Sankore at Timbuktu, an outstanding educational institution. So we pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa. We say, Ashe. We pour this libation to the Ma'afa, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the Infakani, the great tragedy, uprooted out of Africa. Our brothers and sisters lay a carpet along the Atlantic Ocean. We're in North America, South America, Central America, and throughout the diaspora. So we pour this libation to our brothers and sisters who suffered the Ma'afa, the Infakani, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the great tragedy. We pour this libation in their honor and in their memory. We do not know their names, but because of them and their sacrifice, we are here. So we say, Ashe. We pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. If you ever heard me do a libation, you will know that we were not slaves. I repeat, we were not slaves. We were captives. What does a captive want to do? Get free. So we pour this libation to all those men and women who fought against enslavement. In fact, I maintain that some of us are more of a slave today than we were in our initial captivity, because some of us are a slave to vice, to corruption, to drugs, sex, and violence. So we pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. Gabriel Prosser, Nat Turner, Dingmark Vesey, Harriet Tubman. We always resisted, and we will always resist. So we pour this libation in the name and the honor of those men and women who fought against our captivity. We pour this libation to those unborn, those young men and women who will once again lead us back on the stage of human history as a free and proud and productive people. We sashay. We pour this libation to brotherhood and sisterhood, together for the union of family. We need each other. We don't have good family life. There's a saying, conditions shape conduct and consciousness. The conditions in our community are bad. The conduct towards each other is not good. Because why? We lack consciousness. And consciousness is more than just awareness. Consciousness is a deeper understanding of who you are historically, who you are culturally. So once we begin to understand the importance of brotherhood and sisterhood together for the union of family. Brothers and sisters, let us all say, Ashe, Ashe.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Good morning, African world. You are listening to African Perspectives here, here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. And I am your host, Brother Oshie, Hotep family. Hope everything was well with you today. Hope you had a great weekend and all the sisters who had a great Mother's Day. But believe me, we don't have to have a particular day that this country says should be Mother's Day, because we should always honor mother. Always honor mother. I hope you had a chance to do all the things you want to do, should do, must do, can do, and will do. And I hope the weather was accommodating for you to do it. But of course, if it wasn't and it had to get done and it must be done, and believe me, you did it. Because that's the kind of brother and sister that you is. You always persevere. You never procrastinate. You always get it done. And that's why we love you and respect you. Other programming, once again, this programming here, African Perspectives, is here every Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. From 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., 10 to 12 Central, 9 to 11 Mountain, or 8 to 10 Pacific, or any other time around the world. If you cannot listen to this program live, you can go to the archives at timeforanawakening.com. At the top of the page, you'll see podcast. Click on that. On the drop down, you'll see African Perspectives. Click on that, and then there will be programs that are dated and titled. Other programming we have here on Time for an Awakening Media. Once again, this program every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. And all times they're going to give are Eastern times. Mondays, this evening from 6 to 8, Acresonomics Public Affairs Programming out of Philadelphia with Brother Jihad Ahmed, Acres of Diamonds. From 8 to 9, Black Therapy Central with Dr. Mawia Kamban and Nataki Kamban. Followed by, from 9 to 10, Conversation, Reparations with Brother Jamoke and Sister Lacey of Encobra. On Tuesdays, Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers. From 8 to 10 on Tuesdays, Black Reality Think Tank. On Wednesdays, the Black Farmers Report, Wednesday, 8 p.m. to 9. If it's Friday and it's 8 p.m. Eastern, it's time for an awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. On Saturdays from 4 to 6, Sister Talk with host LaWanda Chambers. And then on Saturdays from 7 to 9, the Sankofa Elders Council. And then on Sunday at 7 p.m., once again, it's time for an awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. And the number to call is 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. We Buy Black. We Buy Black. Get everything you need from American African-owned business. The largest online marketplace for American African-owned businesses is WeBuyBlack.com. So get everything you need from American African-owned businesses, WeBuyBlack.com. And once again, I saw that they had a commercial on Black News Network. And they're talking about the donations that are needed, that are raised for establishing a supermarket here in the Atlanta area. And they've been doing this, unfortunately, for a few years, 2 years at least, asking brothers and sisters to donate whatever they can donate to make it a reality. Brothers and sisters, go to WeBuyBlack.com and donate.
because not just it happens here in Atlanta, because what should happen is begins to happen everywhere else, because we pull our resources. We donate to things that we know that can lend a, that would be a benefit to our community, providing goods and services and jobs for our children. Let's support ourselves. Let's support one another. WeBuyBlack.com. Yeah. Africa for the Africans. Brother Bamani Tayemba has been taking our people to the motherland for many years, over 400 of our people. He's going to be going to Ghana this month, the 24th, June 5th. Then at the end of the, in November, November 18th through the 29th to Tanzania. And then December 24th, January 5th, 2022, to Ghana again. And then April 1st to April 11th, Senegal and Gambia in 2022. All of these trips, the price is $3,700 per person. Believe me, you should go online. If you want to see pictures of previous tours, go to facebook.com/Bomani. If you want to see videos of previous tours, go to youtube.com/Bomani2007 and see for yourself. Go to AfricaForTheAfricans.org. Everything that you need to make it a trip of a lifetime is right there for you. Baba Rinoko Rashidi, yes, he's updated. He has a new webinar series, Friday, May 28th, and Saturday, May 29th. The African Roots of Humanity and Civilization. The African Roots of Humanity and Civilization. That is Saturday. That is Friday at 8 p.m. and Saturday at 11 a.m. These times are Eastern times. And it's a Zoom session. And you go to Eventbrite, Dr. Rinoko, Eventbrite. And I'm not sure if the cost is, probably about $10. And so check out what Baba Rinoko has to, you know, what he's saying. What he's doing, he's always good. Of course, he has a trip upcoming July 18th through August 3rd. Going to Ghana with Professor Small and Leonard Jeffries, Dr. Lynn Jeffries. And that's in Ghana. And then at around the same time, he's leaving Ghana and then going right away to Kemet. He has a tour in Kemet, July 31st to August 13th, a tour in Kemet. I believe that the costs are $4,200. I'll get the exact cost so I can make sure that you are well informed. But check out, go to DrRinoko.com. Go to DrRinoko.com. If you want to give him a call at 323-803-8663. 323-803-8663. Dr. Rinoko Rashidi. Habashah Incorporated. Habashah Works. Habashah, they have a repatriation initiative they're going on to teach you how to, you know, things you need to do to go back home, go back to the motherland. Of course, Habashah, they have great programs. The Habashah Works program, Black to Our Roots, Sustainable Seeds, and the Urban Green Jobs. Habashah Works. Great pictures about what they're doing. And, of course, the Kashi Project in Ghana. They have pictures of the construction that is going on. Like I said, all of these things are just fantastic. Go to HabashahIncorporated.org. And Habashah stands for Helping Africans by Establishing Schools at Home and Abroad. HabashahIncorporated.org. The LEDGE Group, Land for the Environmental Development Group Economics, the LEDGE Group. And once again, they have a safari. A raffle for a safari in Tanzania, a Tanzanian safari. Go to theledgegroup.com to get the details. It is worth $15,000. That's right. The LEDGE Group also, too, mentioned before, and I'll mention again, in Tanzania, they have a agreement with the Tanzanian government that those members of Ledge, if you are a member of Ledge, you can buy land in Tanzania at $250 an acre. $250 an acre. So check it out. Find out more about it. Of course, the Ledge Group, they deal with four areas of human growth and development. Human development, that's food, water, clothing, and shelter. They have 12 projects in 6 countries and over 172 people employed globally, as well as 260 members. And you and me, we all need to become members of the Ledge Group. TheLedgeGroup.com. Wadada's Healthy Market and Juice Bar, located in the West End here in Atlanta. The West End is on Ralph David Abernathy Boulevard. And, of course, Wadada's is across the street from the Soul Veg. You know Soul Veg, especially if you're in Chicago. They have Soul Vegetarian restaurants around the country. That's the Black Hebrew Israelites, the followers of Ben Amin, their restaurant, the Soul Vegetarian. And up the street from the Shrine of the Black Madonna, which is open on Fridays and Saturdays. And, of course, the Shrine has everything. They got books. They got clothing. They got the red, black, and green shoes. They got the stuff for your Kwanzaa. They got the stuff for whatever. The Shrine from 1 to 7 on Friday and 1 to 7 on Saturday. And Wadada's have the delicious smoothies and fruit drinks and vitality drinks and all kinds of good stuff at Wadada's Healthy Market and Juice Bar. And on Fridays, it's Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, they have a vegetarian catering so you can go get you a nice, good vegetarian meal if that's what you wish. Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall. Mama Nia has a new location in the Greenbrier Mall. Give her a call at 404-346-3263. 404-346-3263. She has a fine selection of books, postcards, greeting cards, t-shirts, figurines, and you name it, she's got it. Give her a call. If she doesn't have the book that you are requesting or looking for, believe me, she'll get it for you. As well as Gazimdi Ajamu at the Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore in Lithonia, which is east of here in Atlanta. He has a coffee bar serving delicious, my favorite, Cameroon Boyo coffee, and other coffees of African, Ethiopian, Kenyan, and so forth. And give Brother Gazimde a call. He has books. He has the red, black, and green shoes. He has t-shirts. He has all kinds of good stuff. He has his own book out. So give him a call at 404-519-8107. 404-519-8107. Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore in Lithonia, because there is light in the Black Dot. Us Lifting Us, the economic development cooperative for our people in the spirit of Ujamaa Cooperative Economics, or as we like to say, family-centered economics. That's right. Us Lifting Us. Every Thursday night, the Thursday night broadcast is at 9 p.m. on Thursday night, 9 p.m. Eastern from 9 to 10 on Blog Talk Radio, blogtalkradio.com/ULU. And the name of the program is Dare to Win, every Thursday night from 9 to 10. And if you just want to call to listen, you can do so. If you want to call and you have questions, comments, or concerns, you dial 929-477-2789. That's 929-477-2789. Us Lifting Us. Sun Goddess Scents. Sun Goddess Scents, your one-stop natural shop located at 4140 Jonesboro Road, Forest Park, Georgia, inside the International Discount Mall, booth number 225. For more information, call our good sister, Shelly Amonset, at 404-434-7963. That's 404-434-7963. Sun Goddess Scents, your one-shop natural shop. Your one-stop natural shop located in the International Mall in Jonesboro. On Jonesboro Road, but it's in Forest Park. Okay, make sure you get it right. I don't want to send you someplace and it's wrong. You be trying to, hey, Brother Oshi, you owe me gas money, man. You had me going way out. Okay. Well, you know, that happens a lot in Atlanta. If you ain't from here, if you don't live here, man, every drive is going to take you a while. And the traffic. But you know what? They said that the traffic is not as bad here. It's not even in the top 10. Other cities. I find that hard to believe. I mean, I've been in, I didn't live in Chicago, but I've been in Chicago many times and even drove in New York. So, Ackerman Institute, P.O. Box 10786 in Atlanta, Georgia, 30310. That's right. You should make check or money order out to Ackerman Institute, P.O. Box 10786, Atlanta, Georgia, 30310. But, of course, you can use Cash App and PayPal. And I know that Baba Baruti and Mama Ya, they had their weekend meeting. And, of course, the next thing coming up is the 7th Annual Complementarity Conference, and that's June 5th, Saturday, June 5th from 4 to 6. And the same thing applies, make your $10 donation via PayPal or Cash App. Include your pertinent information, which is the Complementarity Conference, your name and your email address, so they can send you the link. That's going to be the Complementarity Conference online, Saturday, June 5th. And, of course, if you want to donate to Ackerman Institute, you can donate by PayPal and Cash App. And if Cash App, you use the dollar sign, YAA, the letter M, and then Baruti, BARUTI. And, of course, Baba Baruti is a prolific writer. He has numbers of books, and you can go online at AckermanHouse.com. AckermanHouse.com. And you can get those books. Oh, I didn't talk about my good sister, Gabby Aurelia, at Sanjay-Haiti. Sanjay-Haiti, my good sister, is doing outstanding work, and she deserves some support. So check out Sanjay, S-O-N-J-E, dash, the right way you should say Haiti, or Haiti, and spell it, is A-Y-I-T-I.org. Sanjay-Haiti. Yeah. The Inye Sasim, the Inye Sasim of daily revolutionary thought. I tell you, I love the Inye Sasim. I love this. Baba Baruti put this together. It really is great to me. May 9th. Perhaps the greatest asset of an African father is the patience born of uncompromising, unconditional love. We all made mistakes and desperately want to protect our children from making the same mistakes. Unfortunately, they will frequently make these same mistakes, and we must continue not only to love them just the same, but to let them know that they are loved. Although punishment is vitally important, love is at least equally important. I'm letting you know right now, I substituted the word discipline for punishment, because discipline is self-imposed order. Discipline is what the mother and the father give to children at a very young age. Giving them discipline, let them know what is right and wrong, how their behavior should be. Because if they don't do that, then they will get punishment. I hate, that's why I'm going to be on the line on May 25th for African Liberation Day and the program from the Pan-African Federalist Movement, which I'm a member of and a supporter of. And the topic is, what's in a word? We need to use the correct verbiage, the correct word. It's not discipline is a good thing. See, this society uses the word discipline when they mean punishment, but punishment has negative connotations. And so we should use the word punishment when we're talking about punishment. But if somebody who does the right thing consistently, that person is disciplined. What do they call the studies in school? They call them disciplines. Why? Because you must be ordered in your life to go through the rigors of study, to get that bachelor's and master's and PhD or whatever. Discipline. The difference between discipline and punishment. And that's what they mean. Although punishment is vitally important, love is at least more important. More important. When you're instilling discipline, you're instilling love. When you're teaching that young child, like the kind of punishment that happens here a lot, and you see it happening because we don't have discipline, is cussing kids out, particularly in public, snatching them up, shaking them. You see children dying all the time at the hands of an adult. I can't say from one that is always a parent. All the time. So we must instill discipline. And that's Baba Gallman, Bernie Gallman of South Carolina. Good brother. Has an African father, if this world were mine, I would make rebuilding the fundamental and foundational social and cultural nexus grid we need to activate and ensure the full restoration of the African family our preeminent priority. I would do this within and but above the contemporary reality because I can see its damage and our resilience. If I had the wherewithal to create the sovereignty we need to be human and sane, I would make it desirable and non-threatening for us to cooperatively move together in reestablishing the kind of visible, obligatory, fulfilling, visionary, interpersonal relationships of the demonstrated kinds of manhood, womanhood, childhood, elderhood our ancestors reflected from the heart. This power would make it possible for those of us who are scattered and unaware of each other to easily discover all our presences and collectively build community from our timeless center. If there are no bounds to my power, I would endow every sovereignty-seeking African warrior with the consciousness and the will to organize themselves around our life's mission of passing on the eternal torch of self-love, divinity, and dignity from one generation to the next until we have absolutely ruled ourselves to our benefit and against all opposition until we are no more. Affirm, I love my children. Affirm, I love my children. That was a good in your say, Sim Baba Rudy. May 10th. A fault confession is half redressed. A fault confessed is half redressed. Zulu proverb. Repayment in kind or reciprocity is a universal principle. So is the timeless understanding that for every action, there is an equal and opposite reaction. There are inevitabilities from which Europeans are running. As Thomas Jefferson said, I tremble for my country when I reflect that God is just. Urugu knows what they have done to us, but hope to escape the natural necessary consequences, as they have arrogantly turned this world upside down to fit their abnormality. They also insulate enough to hope to do this to the universe. As in their God-veering mythology, they believe themselves smart and powerful enough to change these laws to their ill-gotten advantages also. They believe that the universe is as gullible as we are, as a people and others that have encountered and have proven ourselves to be. And because of their spiritual immaturity and need to avoid just correction, they expect that the lies, misinformation, apologies, and transference of cause and blame to others, if not a more advantageous spreading about of it, but also full universal law. In their steady insistence, murderous work against our consciousness, their desperate assumptions is that if they can manipulate mankind into forgiving them, then the universe will read that systematic energy and follow suit. They not only want to be above human law, but they also want to be above universal law. They want to be able to do wrong and not be reciprocated to the magnitude of which they have done or whatever, in addition, is required for correction. Affirm, I fully redress my errors. Affirm, I fully redress my errors. The Enye Sasim of Daily Revolutionary Thought. I tell you, I love it. Love the Enye Sasim. Love what it's about. Yeah, I got this from the Pan-African Federalist Movement. This is in July, a maiden annual global conference. The theme is African unity, the hope for true independence and sustainable development of the continent. And it's going to be in Gambia. and it's the 25th to the 29th of July of this year. I'm quite sure we'll hear more about it. But these things that bring African people together is what this program is about. This program deals with unity, self-determination, liberation, sovereignty for African people. That's what this program is about. Our motto is Pan-Africanism or perish. Unify or die. There is no alternative. Today, we're going to talk about the lie. You know, just kind of stuff that's in the news. I've seen it a few of the times. You know, this big push. Just as we've seen, and I'm mentioning two things that I push, and I'm definitely pushing it. Of course, one is the Great Pyramid K, and K stands for Kemet, and Kemet is land of the blacks, not the black land. Okay, like the Europeans want you. No, it means the black land. It means the fertile earth that deposits along the banks after the inundation. No, it don't. It means the black people of the black land. It means black people. That's what it means. Definitely pushing that. We'll continue to do so. We'll continue to have conversation around that and discussion around that. The other one is the HBO series, Exterminate All the Brutes. The documentary exposes the brutality of European colonization on the world. So not only are we talking about Europeans here in America, so, there's a problem with the 1619 Project, which of course was the year that we supposed that came to this country, that we were sent here in captivity in Virginia. The year of 1619, and of course, 2 years ago marked 400 years. The continent has had a couple of returns, particularly definitely in Ghana, 1619 return in Ghana, and some other countries. I think Nigeria is one. I think on the east, Tanzania might be another. I'm not sure again, but they're offering citizenship. They're offering that when we return, we'll be given benefit. You know, I saw the documentary Exterminate All the Brutes of Raoul Peck. Raoul Peck is born in Haiti, but has traveled the world. He's the one that did the James Baldwin documentary, I Am Not Your Negro. And that was a good documentary. A few others he's done. He did one on the Holocaust, the European Jews, the murder of European Jews. And of course, the word Holocaust has been, and when you hear that word, you automatically, once again, words have meaning. Once again, you associate that word, particularly with European Jews. Now, they have a word for that, and that word is Shoah. The English word is Holocaust, and what the English word means is an act that's so morally demonstrative that it's not against the people themselves, but against all humanity. There have been other Holocausts, and of course, the European that came up with the word genocide. Of course, when you hear the word side, C-I-D-E, side means death. Homicide, suicide, insecticide. You know, anything that's side, side is a suffix. And the word that goes in front of side is what is being killed. Infanticide, you know. You're killing your children, you know. So, and then genocide. But we got to understand that word means there's only been a few acts of real genocide. Genocide means they're gone. We have erased them. We have eliminated them. They're gone. European Jews, Shona Hill ain't gone. Okay? But who are gone are the Taino people in what is now Haiti and the Dominican Republic. What is gone is the people that are on what is now called Tasmania, Truganini and her people. They are gone. and the only group of people that I could think of, and correct, rescue me if I'm wrong, the only people that have enacted genocide on another people, rescue me if I'm wrong, are Europeans. So if there's some other groups, cultural groups, that came into a place and vamped on that place and eliminated them totally, you know, correct me if I'm wrong, because to me, genocide has happened to indigenous people here. Because a lot of the, when you check out this documentary, and we're going to talk about it Friday, Exterminate All Brutes, so you have a chance to watch it. It's a 4-part, 1 hour each, about 50-something minutes each, less than an hour each, 4 parts. And there's one segment where they show the indigenous people of this country. Once again, like other Caucasians have said about it, we came here, there was nothing here. It was hardly anybody here, really. We discovered this place, and there was hardly anybody here. And so since there's hardly anybody here, and we're such an advanced people, such a great and great people, we decided to go ahead and take this and just sweep from where we started, which is, of course, the eastern part of the country, and just go move westerly, you know, go west, young man, Horace Greeley, you know, go west, manifest destiny, you know, the white man's burden. We must, you know, conquer. We must take, and, you know, we develop. You know, they just had buffalo and so forth, and, you know, they didn't have any diseases. They just had a good life, and, you know, they had what they needed, and, you know, they didn't advance really anything. But we're a people, and we are great thinkers, and we advance things, and we impose our will on the world. And that's what's happening. That's what we're talking about today, how the European is being challenged with this documentary. Definitely challenged with the documentary Great Pyramid K 2019, because it just doesn't talk about what we did in the Nile Valley or what we did on the continent. It talks about what we did around the world. What we did around the world. The knowledge that we gave to humanity. The building. The ability to go outside of imposed boundaries of science and so forth, and to think and to build. It is phenomenal. It, to me, it is a true game changer, and it needs to be discussed by us. I don't give a damn about Caucasians, but it needs to be discussed by us. Every member of the Association for the Study of Classical African Civilizations must watch this video, must form something special around this particular documentary and present this information. Us Lifting Us sent it out on their as an email, sent it out on Gmail. So if you're a member of Us Lifting Us, you got that, and I'm going to forward it, because everybody needs to see these two. And the reason why is because the European can't handle the truth. They cannot handle the truth, you know? So, yeah. In fact, what's happening with them on Fox News, Ben Carson and the governor, Noam, I think it is, they put out a piece on it. And they have the group, the 1776, Donald Trump, put this out, because Donald Trump, you know, is adamantly a racist. No, he's not. He's not racist. Shut up. And all those Negroes, oh, all those pathetic Negroes.
This is the best president we've ever had as black people. You know, our unemployment rate is so low. It's better. It's the only time this unemployment rate was lower than this was we was in slavery. That was 100% employment.
It wasn't employment, 100% enslavement and captivity. But that shows you what whitewashing can do. Shows you what, you know, what can happen. I'm going to I'm going to play a few things to help us get the idea of what's happening. Here is Nicole Hannah Jones, and she had the 1619 Project. What if, of course, I'm not. I saw a longer video on the 1619 Project and other things. I understand where she's coming from. And even one Caucasian group used Frederick Douglass because they said that Frederick Douglass believed that the Constitution was the great document that prevented appearance. See, what these Caucasians do, they pick and choose what they want to say. And they pick and choose individuals, you know, of how they want to frame this. Because Frederick Douglass, if you heard his speech, what is your 4th of July to us, clearly states that's not the case. But he, along with many other of our people, believed that somehow, some way, that we could persuade Caucasians, that we could appeal to their moral nature. Because they're thinking, well, they're human beings. They're human beings like us. You know, we have sympathies. We have forgiveness. We have ability and the capacity to overcome tremendous and to be able to understand that we need to live as human. No, they don't. No, they don't. Malcolm said, of all our studies, history is best qualified to reward our research. Look at the history of Europeans. Look at their very beginning, their evolutionary development as human beings. Look at that icebox that they had to develop in, which caused them to behave and act the way they do. Look at their history as it pertains to us as African people. Look what they did. This is part of the documentary, The Great Pyramid K, 2019. Coming into Kemet when all those so-called great minds of Greece came and sat at the feet of African people and returned to Greece and stole. And then when Alexander came, And took Kemet, and of course they destroyed the library, which they later called Alexandria, because Alexandria was named after Alexander, the so-called great, and took all those papyri, all those books, all the writings, and attributed themselves to being the father of this and the father of that. Look at what Rome did. Then, of course, their medieval time when they were land poor, resource poor, and people poor. And then to facilitate that, look what they did when they came out of that. Their mindset was that we war amongst ourselves because we are very warlike people, because our evolutionary development makes us warlike. We're very selfish. We're very greedy. We're very sexist. We're all of that. And we're going to go around the world and take everybody's stuff in the name of France, England, Portugal, Spain, whatever. We're going to come to that land. We ain't coming to bargain. We ain't coming to trade. We ain't coming to deal. No, we're coming to take. We're coming to supplant you, to undermine you, to eliminate you. All those treaties that the indigenous people here and probably other places signed with these Europeans, they weren't worth the paper they were printed on or wrote on. Yeah. So this is the 1619 Project, and then I'm going to do a piece from an article that just appeared, and you probably seen it if you got Facebook, that appeared that talks about Ben Carson, his governor from South Dakota, saying the biggest cultural challenge of our time is defeating anti-American indoctrination. No nation can long thrive that loses faith in its own values, history, and heroes. So said Trump. Okay, let me get out of here. Here is Nicole Hannah Jones of the 1619 Project. Sorry about that. Once again, technical difficulties.
In a special new issue, the New York Times Magazine is launching a series called The 1619 Project. It marks the 400th anniversary of the arrival of the first enslaved Africans in the colony of Virginia. The series examines the ways the legacy of slavery continues to shape this country. The Times says the project aims to reframe American history and place the consequences of slavery and the contributions of Black Americans at the very center of the story we tell ourselves about who we are. The journalist behind the project is New York Times Magazine domestic correspondent Nicole Hannah Jones. Nicole, good morning. Thanks for being here.
Good morning.
Can you tell us about the genesis of this project? Where did you come up with the idea?
Sure. So I've been thinking about the year 1619 since I was in high school, yeah. And I came across that date in a book called Before the Mayflower. And I just was struck by how people of African descent had been here that long, and I never knew that date and never heard about it.
Right.
So as the anniversary was approaching the 400th year, I thought that this was a time to actually assess what has that legacy been, and to bring this year, 1619, to most American households where it was probably going to pass without them knowing about it.
You say 1619 is as important as 1776.
Yes. Our decision to buy that first group of 20 to 30 Africans would influence almost everything that would follow after. I think it is foundational. It is as foundational to who we became as a country as our decision in 1776 to break off from the British.
You say Black Americans are the most American of all and our true founding fathers. Can you walk us through from that first ship to today, how we're still seeing the signs?
Yeah, so when you think about the fact that when Thomas Jefferson is writing the Declaration and laying out these words for liberation, you know, all men are created equal,
yes,
and born with inalienable rights. And while he's writing that, he owns 130 human beings who are in absolute bondage. And in fact, his brother-in-law is sitting there with him, enslaved, to help keep him comfortable. What that means is those ideals were not true when they were written, but Black Americans took those ideals literally. And Black Americans have really fought. You can look at what happens after Reconstruction. You can look at the abolitionist movement. You can look at the civil rights movement. Black people have fought to make those ideals real.
Perfecting democracy.
Absolutely.
I can just say this. I was so embarrassed as a person of color that I had never heard of 1619 until I read your essay, page 16, when you first talk about it. And I just thought, how do we not know this? And I'm not the only one. There was only one person in the room, Betty over there, who went to Harvard. She knew about you, and she knew all about this project and knew all about this date. But you said it's time to stop hiding from our sins and confront the truth. What do you mean?
What I mean is,
and how do we not know about this, Nicole?
We don't know about 1619 the same way that we don't learn very much about slavery. It is shameful. No one wants to talk about their sins or the worst moments. And slavery gives contradiction to our entire creation story of the United States. And so we've tried to push it aside. We've tried to make it marginal. And in doing that, we've marginalized the 40 million descendants of the enslaved as well. Mm-hmm. So what we're trying to do with this project is force us to confront the truth, and then maybe we can actually start to move past slavery and become the country that was written in our ideals in the Constitution and the Declaration.
It's an effort to reframe American history, yeah. But some critics have said it's an effort to delegitimize American history. From the Cato Institute, Ila Shapiro tweeted, it's a project intended to delegitimize mankind's grandest experiment in human liberty. Is it divisive in that way?
I mean, what's amazing about that is people are not arguing the facts. So what they're basically arguing is that we should only talk about certain facts. We should talk about the good part of Thomas Jefferson, but not about the fact that he was an enslaver. I'm saying that history is history, and we have to tell the truth. No, it's not delegitimizing, because the whole point of the article is that Black Americans have used those founding words to actually bring us closer to the democracy that the founders envisioned. And that is the most patriotic of things.
Sorry.
You, you can take us. The thing that's so amazing about this that makes me so proud, you can look about at anything that's happening, just about anything that's happening in the world today, and tie it to slavery. You look at the highways in Atlanta. You look at the naming of Wall Street. You look at sugar that we eat. But the thing that stuck out to me was health care, that you can tie health care to slavery. How?
Absolutely. So there's a piece in there about why we're the only Western industrialized country that doesn't have universal health care. And it starts with opposition to universal health care that occurs right after slavery, when the Freedmen's Bureau was trying to offer free health care to the formerly enslaved. And there was white opposition to that. And so even today, you see with polling that white Americans will reject social programs if they think large numbers of black people will benefit from them. And so the harms of slavery have not been contained, because there are millions of white Americans. There are millions of Latinos and Asian and black Americans who don't have health care, who can't get insurance because of slavery.
You say don't look at black people as a problem, look at black people as a solution.
Yes. From the beginning, there have been, you know, thousands of pages dedicated to saying that black people are, as Abraham Lincoln said, a troublesome presence in our democracy. But really, what we're arguing with this project is black Americans have been the perfecters of this democracy, and that if we ever got to the point we would stop seeing us as a problem, we would actually be more of the America that we want to be.
Nicole, I stepped briefly on your line earlier. You see this as a patriotic act?
Yes, of course it is. This isn't saying that this is a country that needs to be destroyed. This is not saying that this is a country that's illegitimate. It's saying that this was a country founded on ideals that were not true at the time, but that black Americans believed in those ideals and have worked to make those ideals true for all groups. I don't see what is more patriotic than that.
Well, you couldn't have expected this reaction, which is huge, by the way. Congrats.
Thank you so much.
Congrats and bravo to you. Tomorrow on CBS This Morning, our national correspondent, Jerika.
Yeah. So, I tell you. That's why I had a problem with the 1619 piece as well. But, you know, I don't know if you've ever seen that there is a, not a celebration, but a like a town hall meeting on the 1619 out of New York. Of course, she is there and many others. And they're talking about the impact of our captivity. And I have other people, historians and so forth, but they don't have anybody that from an African-centered perspective talking about it. They talk about it as just as she did, saying that, hey, this you know, you embrace this can be something good for all of us Americans, you know. And I'm saying to myself, what? No, they're not going to agree to this. Number one, what do Caucasians suffer from? Cognitive dissonance. They don't want to hear it. They believe that they are superior, and ain't a damn thing we can do or say to prove otherwise. We can put forth the information and all the historical facts from the documentary Great Pyramid K 2019 to the Exterminate All the Brutes about all of what these Caucasians have done. And they will dismiss it. They will ignore it, because in their mindset, they have manifest destiny. They have supremacy. They are the rulers. They are the ones that brought knowledge to the world. They are the ones that tame savage beasts and tame savage land. They suffer from cognitive dissonance. They suffer from European Caucasian fragility, or as Dr. DeAngelo said, white fragility. That means that when you talk to them about what they have done, they don't want to hear it. They don't want to hear it from them, and they sure in hell don't want to hear it from us. That's why the 1619 project is coming from us. They don't want to hear that. They want to believe that what they did was good for humanity. They want to believe that when they came out of that dark age, that medieval age, and went around the world taking everybody's stuff in the name of, they were doing it for advancement, for progress. They also suffer from hegemony or hegemony, whichever way you want to pronounce it. But what it means is, what's mine's is mine's, and what's yours is mine's. Take what I want. I do what I want. But of course, this 1776 curriculum, we'll talk about after the break, because they want to continue to teach the lies. They can't handle the truth. They cannot. You know, just like in A Few Good Men, Jack Nicholson's character, as he's being confronted by Tom Cruise, the attorney. I want the truth. You can't handle the truth. They can't. They can't handle the truth. And like I said, these documentaries are out there, and we need to watch them. We need to spread that information. We need to do all that we can, because that is what time it is, brothers and sisters. That is what time it is. Speaking of a documentary on CNN last night, I'm playing Marvin Gaye today at a Marvin Gaye documentary. Outstanding. What's going on? With the name of the documentary and the kind of man that Marvin Gaye was and how socially conscious and relevant he was at that time to this very present day. So brothers and sisters, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com, and blacktalkradionetwork.com. We'll be right back. You stay with us.
You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshi on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Everybody thinks we're on the mother. Who are they to judge us?
Mother, mother.
Simply call us, we wear our hair long.
Mother, mother.
You're listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters. Once again, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. Marvin Gaye, What's Going On? Makes you want to holler. That I'm not sure if They are going to repeat that documentary on CNN. You probably, if you have streaming or somebody you know has streaming, then you probably can definitely pick that documentary back up again on streaming. They replay a lot of stuff on streaming. But excellent documentary. Once again, you're listening to African Perspectives, our lineup media, part of the Time for an Awakening media, our lineup on Mondays from 6 to 8, Acres of Diamonds, public affairs programming with Brother Jihad Ahmed from 6 to 8. And then from 8 to 9, Black Therapy Central with Dr. Mawia Kamban and her daughter, Nataki Kamban. And then from 9 to 10, Conversation, Reparations with Brother Jamoke and Sister Lacey. On Tuesdays, Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. Will Rogers from 8 to 10. On Wednesdays, Black Farmers Report from 8 to 9. On Wednesdays, Black Farmers Report. On Friday, if it's Friday and it's 8 p.m. Eastern, it's time for an awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. On Saturdays, at 4, from 4 to 6, Sister Talk with host LaWanda Chambers. And then on 7 on Saturdays, 7 p.m. on Saturdays, the Sankofa Elders Council from 7 to 9. And then on Sunday at 7 p.m., once again, time for an awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. And the number to call is 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. And also, too, reminding about the, I got a big thing for African Liberation Day, May 25th. That day, to me, should be celebrated more than any other day. Not celebrated, commemorated and promoted and acted upon, African Liberation Day. And so the Pan-African North American Federalist Movement, we're having a virtual town hall meeting, Forging a Common African Identity, and we're talking about what's in a name. And I've been asked to be a part of that panel, and I'm honored to do so. And that is hosted by Atlanta, Florida, and D.C. And so it's going to be 6 p.m. Eastern time, from 6 p.m. to 8:30 Eastern time. African Liberation Day, Tuesday, May 25th. More details to come. Also, to I'll be talking with Mama Nabantu pretty soon about what's happening with the Pan-African Federalist Movement here in North America, because we need to organize. We need to get more people involved and more people become members. You know, this is something that must happen for African people. I know that the European has a vice grip on our minds, and a lot of our people can't understand and see what we're talking about. But we must continue to work hard to release that vice grip, to help our people step outside of the imposed boundaries that Europeans have placed us in, to deal with this stuff realistically and honestly. Okay. So all this information is coming out, and of course it doesn't look good. It's just like, you know, the Tulsa riot. It ain't no riot. The Tulsa massacre, when these Europeans, using any excuse — the excuse, of course, was the brother who was going to go use the bathroom up at the top floor of this building. And understand something, it's 1929. So you had to have a operator for the elevator to get up at the top floor. So it was a young Caucasian woman who was the operator. And of course, sometimes when you stop the elevator, it may not be perfect. It may not be flush with the floor. So there might have been a little lift. He slips or trips. He falls on her. Somebody seen it. She screams. She doesn't press charge or anything. And somebody seen it, and they thought that he was trying to accost her, assault her, rape her, whatever. And then he runs away. And they go looking for him, the Caucasians. All they needed — this is all they needed, so they could vamp on our community, on a prosperous community. So great was that community and all the business that it had. They were self-contained. Nowhere in America today can you find a community like that is ours. Nowhere. And if I'm wrong, you Call me, 414-324-5796. 414-324-5796. If you could tell me where a community that we had in 1921, that is self-contained. We don't have to go outside for anything. Dollars circulate within that community 10, 20 times, whatever. Tell me. Nowhere. All of them are gone. The ones that are more contemporary, they died because of, quote, model cities and the expressways running through them. Happened in Milwaukee. I'm quite sure it might have happened in your community, like it did the Raleigh-Durham community. Nowhere. And so I will have as my guest on May 19th, of course, is El Hajj Malik El Shabazz, Brother Omar Wali, Malcolm X's birthday. We'll be talking about that in the first half of the program. But in the second half of the program, we'll be talking to Chief Uguma Wali, who gave us an outstanding tour. He was on my program last year. Outstanding tour of the Greenwood area, and talk about this commemoration. I look forward to that, and I will be going to the commemoration in Tulsa, seeing firsthand for myself. And I will be, of course, when I get back, letting you know all what transpired, you know. But that's the thing. It wasn't in many people in Tulsa. The brothers and sisters in Tulsa, many of them did not know. It's showing the hell what in the books. Once again, the European is very selective. He don't tell the truth. He's a liar. He don't want the truth to come out. Because he can't handle the truth. So Dr. Ben Carson and this governor, this lady from South Carolina, says the biggest challenge of our lifetime is defeating anti-American indoctrination. Trump said, no nation, Christy Norm, I think her name is, no nation can long thrive that loses faith in its own values, history, and heroes. Well, let me pull this up here. So we can listen to this madness.
So, PillowCube just sent me this cube-shaped pillow, and I'm totally excited. Let's see what's inside. First off, I really like...
Inspired by former President Trump's 1776 commission, the all-new 1776 Action Group is rolling out a plan to combat what they call anti-American indoctrination in U.S. schools, which is precisely what it is. Adam Waldeck is the president of that group. And he joins me now to explain. Adam, thank you so much for being here. Tell me about 1776 Action and why we need it right now.
Sure. Thanks, Pete, for having me. It really just comes down to this. The fact is that the overarching value of 1776 is that we are all created equal. We are all individuals made in the image of God with certain inalienable rights. And every time that we've been, our heroes as a country, our founders, Abraham Lincoln, Martin Luther King, what they did was fought for that value. They wanted to make sure that that value was being realized. And the left, the radical left in schools right now, they are rejecting that. They are teaching kids that basically America is just systemically bad, full of bad people and bad history. And they are sending kids home thinking that their skin color and their gender is really all that matters, and that's what defines them. And so our goal is really to just drive home the fact that 1776, the values are revolutionary. They've made the world a better place, and we want to be an ally of parents that are working to stop that type of brainwashing happening all over the country, and it's everywhere.
Adam, I love this. The website is 1776action.org, and you mentioned parents because there's a lot of parents out there saying, Where's my backup? What do I do about this? And right. You're saying as a group, we're going to come into states and stare down elected officials and school board members, principals, deans, presidents, K-12, university, whatever it is. One of those examples is a bill in New Hampshire. And I want to play a portion of an ad you're running in New Hampshire to call for support for a bill that blocks critical race theory. Listen to this.
Last year, radicals destroyed statues and burned cities. Now, in many New Hampshire schools, they're brainwashing our children to hate America and each other, attacking our history and heroes, dividing students by race and gender. Our legislators must choose. Spend your tax dollars to brainwash our children or support HB 544 and stand up for America.
That's it. This is a stand-up moment, isn't it, Adam? You got to go in there and fight fire with fire.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, this really came about in part, you know, we launched just a few weeks ago, got in touch with a guy named Dan Richards in New Hampshire, who'd be a great person for you to have on at some point. He's a business owner. He's been a warrior on this issue, but he's really just, at the end of the day, he's just a parent. He's got young kids, and they were coming home basically learning that, you know, America is the same as Nazi Germany, and that the Declaration of Independence was a key event in white supremacy. And he was just like, you know, like most parents, like, huh? You know, what are we doing here? And so he's rather, you know, there's a lot of parents that are out there talking about, you know, this is bad, we should do something about this. He's been writing op-eds, he's been on television. We learned about this bill, which would basically get this kind of stuff out of schools, you know, the promotion of this mm-hmm. type of hostility. And so that's what we've been doing, is getting out there, trying to put pressure on, ultimately in the long term, it's school board members. But right now, the bill is moving through the House. It just passed. It goes to the Senate, and we're hoping that the governor will sign it. But
good on you.
Why should people be paying to have their kids told what a terrible country
this
is?
We shouldn't, but they didn't know what else to do.
And look at all of their friends and things at school as, you know, potential enemies.
They've been waiting for the cavalry to arrive. I hope 1776 action is just that. Adam Waldeck, it's 1776action.org to check it out. Thanks for what you're doing. Keep us posted.
Thanks, Big Case.
Yeah. Yeah, 1776. In fact, they said that 1619 is not a real date for anything. You know, it ain't significant at all as it relates to American history. Yeah. Okay. In his 1989 farewell address, Ronald Reagan worried whether we're doing good enough job teaching our children what it means to be an American. He longed for what he called an informed patriotism. This sentiment was echoed over 30 years later when Trump, who in his own farewell address warned that our loss of confidence in ourselves was not just a worry, but a great danger. No nation can long thrive, Trump said, that loses faith in its own values, history, and heroes. For these are the very sources of our unity and our vitality. I tell you, man. It's comical and pathetic and sad because it's lies. It's bad enough to lose one's faith, which at least holds forth the possibility of recovering it. But if we give up and abandon altogether the teaching of our children the true and inspiring story of America, what will become of our youngest Americans who are starting off with a blank slate about what our country means and stands for? What exactly are we doing if we're not teaching them about their country's values, history, and heroes? The alarming answer is, in our nation today, there are far too many classrooms where our children and grandchildren are learning about the positive revolution in human affairs set in motion by our founders, or how later leaders like Abraham Lincoln, Frederick Douglass, and Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King call upon the wisdom and the vision of the founders to defeat the evil injustices of slavery and segregation. They called upon the vision and wisdom of the founders to defeat. See what I'm saying? You know, they were the ones who did it. The founders were the ones who established it. And the founders for hundreds of years, from 1776 all the way up into the time that it ended in 1865, less than 100 years. But prior to that, all of that time of 1619, they believed that African people were inferior and they're nothing but property. Instead, many of them are learning that our founders were altogether sinful men, unworthy of statues or even praise. The historic achievements of Washington, Jefferson, Lincoln, Douglas, and King. I don't mind keep putting Douglas and King up in that. They weren't founders. Not only that, they argued against it. But there is a piece with Dr. King believed so hard that somehow we could appeal to these people's moral nature. Until he said to Pere Belafonte, he said, "I believe I'm trying to integrate my people into a burning building." Not long after that, he was assassinated. Frederick Douglass said, "What is your 4th of July to us as African people, to us as who are enslaved?" So, are being shelved in favor of false and destructive narratives that we are systematically racist and ultimately irredeemable nation. Even worse, and at an alarming pace, students are being subjugated to radical concept known as critical race theory, which pits them against one another on the basis of race and gender under the disguise of achieving equality. Not only is extreme ideology deeply divisive and harmful, but it rejects America's most defining principle that has individuals were all created equal by God. This is not a formula for building a more perfect union. A great nation cannot survive if its citizens are taught to hold their own country in contempt. Our founders knew that people are not perfect. That is why they created an ingenious constitutional system of checks and balances. But that system also requires, I hate doing these damn things, move. you know what I'm saying? When you go online and they constantly just because they're throwing stuff in there, whatever. Okay. That is why they create an ingenious constitutional system of checks and balances. But that system also requires strong civic engagement by citizens who understand and defend the values and traditions that make America special. Critical race theory is a deliberate means to sow division and cripple our nation from within, one brainwashed and resentful student at a time. And while foreign adversaries like China and Russia surely work to inflame our divisions, we are doing this to ourselves. Whether or not we can defeat this ascension, anti-Americanism is perhaps the most important cultural challenge of our time. And fortunately, a growing number of courageous parents, grandparents, and teachers understand the stakes and have begun to speak out and push back. The brave and patriotic parents and educators we have seen define America's founding principles fill us with optimism, confidence, and hope. It is truly inspiring to see. They just need the encouragement and support necessary to be successful. The creation of President Trump's, The creation of Trump's advisory 17, because I've never called him that, and I never will. I would never call him that. Not that I have any respect and admiration for the presidency of this country, but I just had total disdain for him, period. So Trump's advisory 1776 commission offered real promise as it sought to return to a truthful, patriotic education worthy of an exceptional nation. But signaling its capitulation to the far left of his party, Biden canceled and disbanded the 1776 commission hours after his inauguration. Now, patriotic Americans at state and local levels must lead the way. That means pressuring candidates and elected officials to clarify their position, making patriotic education a defining issue in elections up and down the ballot this year and beyond. Any important new tool for making this a reality is the 1776 pledge to save our schools, just released by the 1776 action. Aside from affirming where candidates and officials stand on the set of core beliefs, that our founding fathers were great Americans who deserve to be honored as heroes. For example, the pledge includes four specific commitments for public K-12 education, and they include restoring honest, patriotic education that cultivates in our children a profound love for our country. Two, promoting a curriculum that teaches that all children are created equal, have equal moral value under God, our Constitution, and the law, and all the members of a national community united by our own founding principles. Number three, prohibiting any curriculum that pits students against one another on the basis of race or sex. Number four, preventing schools from politicizing education by prohibiting any curriculum that requires students to protest and lobby during or after school. Let me read that one again. Preventing schools from politicizing education by prohibiting any curriculum that requires students to protest and lobby during or after school. It is true that Biden and his congressional allies are working hard to impose a new federally funded, federally defined curriculum for civics and history. But education remains primarily a state and local issue, and rightfully so. States' rights. States' rights. And while it may seem difficult to make an impact in D.C., you may be surprised by how powerful your voice can be in your own school district or state capital. By focusing on this issue, we have the opportunity to create an entirely new, diverse coalition of voters for these values, one built upon a genuine love for our nation and our children. Critics often deride our push for truthful, patriotic education by claiming that we don't want to have difficult conversations about troubling aspects of our history. They're wrong. Our children and grandchildren should understand the full picture. Our fundamental values, our greatest achievements, and the long struggle to overcome injustice as well. In doing so, they will learn the story of a brave and vibrant people. They will learn the stories of amazing men and women of every color and background who, for almost 250 years, have together fought, argued, and strived to build a more perfect union. It is now up to us to choose. Will we prepare our youngest generation to write the next exciting chapter in our great American story? If so, we must act now before it's too late. That's Ben Carson. The Negro. He is your Negro. Unlike James Baldwin, I'm not your Negro. No, Ben Carson is your Negro. Along with this Caucasian woman who is the governor of South Dakota. And so as you can see, give us a call at 215-490-9832, 215-490-9832. And if you're on the queue, we only have a few people on the queue, but if you are, hit star twice to join the conversation. If you have a question, comment, or concern as it relates to this challenge, the cultural challenge of our time, defeating anti-American indoctrination. You know, is 469. Good afternoon, 469.
Hey, Oshi, how you doing?
I'm doing well. How you doing, my brother? You been all right?
I'm doing good. All right. Good. Yo, a couple of things I just wanted to add to the conversation.
Thank you.
I know a lot of times that I hear people on a lot of these shows that they're saying that whites thought that, you know, we were inferior or not even human. That's not so. They knew better than that. I know if you read the book From Columbus to Castro, Eric Williams talked time and time again that they knew, and they would say to themselves, we know what we're doing is wrong, but we're making so much money, we can't afford to stop.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, okay. they knew that. And plus, now the ignorant whites, they may feel like that.
Right.
But the powers to be, they know about Kemet. They know about the Shanghai Empire. And it's real interesting that people laugh about Timbuktu. But most people, especially our people, don't know anything about the history of Timbuktu.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, here's another point that I think that people don't stress enough. Just as destructive as the Berlin Conference was on the continent of Africa, I think the Great Compromise of 1877 was equivalent in the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
Because basically what it did is that they pulled, and you know what that history is.
Right.
But for
they
those
pulled the troops out. They pulled the troops out.
It basically pulled the federal troops out of the South, and they made a pact for, and you said it earlier, state rights.
State rights.
And as you know, the educational system in these states in the country are controlled through the states. It's not controlled on the federal level.
Mm-hmm.
And with the Great Compromise of 1877, they made a pact, okay, well, we'll deal with things on the federal level, but we will allow the South to implement those things on the state level. And if you want to get something done, really, you have more power to get it done on the local level or on the state level than you do on the federal level. So if you control it on the state and the local level, it's a lot more difficult to get things passed.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what, in my opinion, Oshie, that's what I think that we're looking at right now. And that's why you have all of these governors and all of these states passing these laws, legislation that's making it more difficult for you to protest. Here in Oklahoma, they just passed legislation that you cannot take pictures of police officers with cameras and record. Mm-hmm. That's against the law now.
Yeah.
Now, let me tell you what else they did. Now, you'll find this in the listening audience very amusing. There's a dealership that is advertising, if you purchase a car or a vehicle, they will give you a free gun.
Oh,
I am not lying.
Is that right?
When I heard it and I was riding with my brother, I said, did they say what I thought they said? They will give you a free gun. That shows you how sick these people are.
Yeah.
Yeah. Man. But anyway, I'm going to get off the... But I just wanted to share
a couple
of those points with you.
Thank you for that. And just like when I read in this piece here where it said that, we're going to prohibit anybody from protesting what we're doing.
Right.
It's one of the things that preventing schools from politicizing education by prohibiting any curriculum that requires students to protest and lobby during or after school. No dissent. You just accept what we're presenting to you as fact, which has gone on for decades and decades up until the time of the 60s when I was in school and when they walked out for American African history to be taught in schools across this country, at least as far as I'm concerned across this country. I know in the Midwest for sure, you know, but yeah, definitely across this country. And you know, that changed the dynamic. But unfortunately, at the early onset, that wasn't, you know, that education and that information wasn't extensive to what it is today, you know.
Yeah. Oh, see, let me add one more thing before I get off. And it's interesting that you bring that up. Because isn't it hypocritical? Because teaching you all about George Washington, Abraham Lincoln, Thomas Jefferson, and all of that is political. So I mean, if they were to follow their own rules, they have to stop talking. They have to stop teaching people about the great founding fathers.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
As opposed to what we're doing as people is we're counteracting and saying, well, these people were no good. Because they owned slaves and they this and you know they were hostile towards the advancement of black people, but you can't teach that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can't teach the truth in that line. You have to teach a lie. They were great. They never lied. he cut down. What was it?
Cut down the tree.
Never told a never told a lie. Yeah. So, I mean, it's really, 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 if it wasn't so serious, it would be hilarious. Yeah. But anyway, let me get off the phone.
All right,
dear
brother. All right, thank you so much. All right, bye-bye. Peace. Yeah, you know, it's deep. It's sad. You know, it's really sad. It's sad for us. Because I don't really give a damn the consequences for Caucasians. Just like, once again, I love that Yinye say some when Baba Rudy says what they're trying to do, of course, is kind to control universal law. They control natural law by doing what they've done to us. But now they're trying to control universal law. And they think they can get away with everything because they've gotten away with so far doing what they're doing. Because they believe that they are superior. And ain't a damn thing that we can do or say to prove otherwise. You know? And I'm saying that's wrong. And of course, the education process that we have here, that's why I argue, and I will always argue, that at the elementary level, we need to control that education. I would argue that we need to control it beyond at least middle school. So even when you go to high school, because you have had a solid foundation of and been instructed with the knowledge of self, that you know who you are, you're confident in who you are, that you know when you go to any high school, whether it's a parochial high school, whether it's a private high school, whether it's charter choice or public, you know why you're there. You're there to get everything that the school has to offer for your benefit. That everything for your benefit means for your liberation. Everything that, from an educational standpoint, should be about a tool for your liberation. I know. I'm not naive, brothers and sisters. I know why many people go to school, why they want to go to college, why they want to go to a trade school, technical school, because they want opportunities for employment. They want opportunities for their personal embetterment. I know that. But I know that if we are to be a people, or to be self-defining, self-respecting, if we are to be a sovereign people, we need education for our collective betterment. That when we go to school, we know that this is my role to play in African liberation. To become a scientist, to become a doctor, to become an engineer, or even to become a crafts person. I can, you know, whatever it is. So we must understand the bottom line for African people, just as it is that you just seen here, what I told you here, that they're against truth. They're against it because the sad truth is ugly. It is ugly. And what they've continued to do has been ugly. Just as my brother said, he said, they're making too much money. So even though they know, they ignore it, they dismiss it. Because to them, what is a benefit to them, you know, what is a benefit to them is what happens, and what's most important to them is that they dominate, they control, they rule. And see, many of us don't understand that. But all we got to do is look at the history and look at it from an African perspective. Look at it through African eyes. Because they've trained us, damn it, so well, it's hard for us to step outside of the imposed boundaries that they have placed upon us to look at things clearly in our view, from our perspective. That vice grip they have is so tight on our minds. It is Some people might believe it's inconceivable that we could ever release it. But there's a knob, brothers and sisters. There's a knob at the end of that handle. And when you listen to programs like this and other great programs that we have here on Time for an Awakening Media, when we look at other things that we have done, I tell you, I'm getting phone calls here at this time. You know, sorry about that. But when we are in that kind of situation, this is what happens. So, to me, the most important things that we can do is acquire knowledge of self. The May 25th, African Liberation Day, Tuesday, May 25th, that is the most important day for us as African people, not Juneteenth. You know, I know next month, June 19th, is a big day, you know, and I know many people, you know, celebrate it and how they celebrate it. I understand that. But to me, no, not June 19th. You know, no, it's not that. You know, it's not any other day. It's African Liberation Day. That's the most important day. You know, I mean, other commemorations and other celebrations, they're all great. Kwanzaa, you know what, I love Kwanzaa. Any other day that we can celebrate who and what we are, I understand that. Just like in Tulsa, at the end of the month, they're commemorating 100 years with all kinds of activities, and I will tell you all about it when I return, you know. Tell you all about it, you know, and I'll give you the rundown, and, you know, places that you can go, you know. So, but no, the most important thing is us returning to who we are, us embracing who we are, us understanding and knowing who we're dealing with. Because we are still our legislators, our clergy. Many people, our brothers and sisters, as citizens of this damn country, still believe that we can make this our own, that we can share this with them. It is not in them to do that. You know, we got a caller. Caller, good afternoon. Good afternoon, caller.
Commemorating 100.
Good afternoon, Brother Oshie. I'm really enjoying your show today.
Well, thank you. Hey, my sister, how you been?
Yeah, I'm doing good.
Good.
And really appreciating your show and all the knowledge you're bringing. And so the thing about they're propagating, that's really a serious attack. And it's like going way back. Because when I was in elementary school, I was presented with all that propaganda. But then when I got to high school, those were the awakening days for me. We had Black Studies.
Okay.
So, yeah. You know, so I think it's important from the beginning for children in elementary all the way through. And this bombardment and this assault, you know, we have to take a stand against this. You know, they're going all into the government with it and imposing it. So we need to be strategic on what we're going to do. So, of course, the Black independent schools is, of course, I mean, that's really imperative, you know. And we support that, and that is so wonderful for our children. Well, a lot of our children are not able to, you know, a lot of the masses aren't able, they're still stuck in public school.
Right, and so, that's a... That's a
good. What are some of the things? Because we have to do something. What are some of the? What would you recommend and suggest that?
Well, you know,
do?
that's a good point, because the vast majority of our children are in public schools across this country. So those schools that are African centered, those schools that are community-minded schools and so forth, those are few of our children. And they're blessed to get that kind of knowledge, that kind of instruction, while the majority of our children languish in public schools and many of them in failing public schools. I mean, totally failing public schools, where, yes, where these young people, even though they might be 15, 16, 17 years old, still cannot read.
Right.
You know? And so that's why my only argument and my only suggestion is for us to develop schools at an early age of our own. But we're not going to do that, unfortunately.
Yeah, you know? That's imperative we do that. But the vast majority of children, we should be supporting and helping them against that bombardment, because there'll be propaganda, spreading propaganda to the parents.
Yeah.
And so we have to somehow reach them too, and try to help educate and do what we can to keep our education of the correct African history.
Yeah. Well, the oppressor never gives information to the oppressed.
That's
to
right.
End their oppression. So, but our problem is we keep expecting that. We keep hoping that. We keep praying that. We march for that. We pray for that. You know, all that. And it never happened. It hasn't happened. It's not happening. And it ain't going to happen. But yet we keep holding out hope that it does happen. And as opposed to saying, bump y'all. I don't give a damn about y'all. We're doing this. And
right.
This is our story. This is what we are doing, you know.
I think that some of the taxes we employed did work at a point where we got African history and Black history, and did a lot of political training for the youth back in the, I don't know when it was, 60s. So a lot of those taxes, we didn't just stand for it and just say, okay, you're just going to take this. And we're going to go along with the master.
Right.
So I think that we still need to,
Well, you're right. You're right. We did do that, but we didn't go far enough.
Right. We need to go do it and
right.
go further, like you said.
Right. Because I think that's been always the problem, that once something, we do a little something, we believe that it'll change things, that it'll mm-hmm. grow or develop into something that we feel should be, our way, but it never happens, and it never will, And so my contention is that we as African people here and globally say, this is it. This is who we are, and this is what we're going to do. Kick everybody off the continent, because it can't happen here. That's the other thing. Even though I keep saying about the educational process for us here, it'll still be a small groups of students, small educational pockets of students. But on the continent, it'll be continent-wide, a mass educational project of educating everybody on the continent of who and what they are, respective of their cultural bearings, or their tribe, I hate to use that, or nation, that's a better word, of their nation, of their national heritages and so forth. If you, Zulu or Igbo or whatever you are, but
absolutely
but the bottom line is that's not as important as being African. So you don't say that that's the most important thing for me is to espouse it. No, what's most important is to be African.
Absolutely.
And that we all of us be African, and we all can begin to love and respect and share what we have and become a player in the world instead of the pawns that we have become. To be manipulated and undermined because we got such pathetic, weak, leadership or misleadership, So that's what it's about. And like I said, when I was in school, we marched because we didn't have it. In fact,
it was great for me.
Yeah,
we marched. We learned. I got so inspired, and working for the liberation of our people.
Well, I mean,
we had the Black Panthers. We did work. It was great.
Oh, yeah. No, I agree. I was in that time.
We were allowed to come and do, because they're trying to stop political activity, because they used to come to our college in San Francisco State. We had Professor John Henry Carr coming.
Mm-hmm.
How can, I mean, it was awesome. Robert Obatushaka was there. So we were really working for liberation, and that's what we fought to do. And now, you know, those gays, we made, they're coming back and said, you can't even have any political education. You can't have no true African history. I think we have to wage a war against that too. And also work for what we're doing in Africa. I think we have to do both.
Right. Well, that's the thing. I think that no longer should we be Caucasians for anything. No longer should we go to them and plead with them. What I'm saying is that we make a declaration. We say, this is what we're teaching. We're going to start from a very young age, you know, preschool, all the way up to, you know, middle school or whatever. So by the time they get into high school, their high school age, they have a solid, firm foundation of knowledge of self. And they can go to that school and ain't a damn thing there that they could teach them to prove otherwise, because they know who they are, you know. And not in a boastful sense, and not even to challenge them, because when they go to high school, they're there to get science. They're there to get other subjects that they may not get at that core group that they have to prepare them. And once again, the education is for one purpose, and that is to create the liberation for sovereignty for us as a people. We're not there so I can learn this so I can go beg some Caucasians for a job. I'm not there to learn this so I can be a part and continue to be a part and perpetuate this evil system. Yes, I said it. Damn it. It is. It's an evil system. You know?
Okay, well, I appreciate your show.
I do too. I appreciate you always listening and calling.
And you know, the scholarly presentations and discussion. Because, you know, another thing that you are doing for this is we have to be aware, and then that helps us to move forward, you know.
Right.
It's an enlightening, like you say. Yeah. And so I'm just saying that that's imperative too. You know, that enlightening that you're doing, and then we, you know, take further steps too.
Well, I suggest that if you find the time that you go on YouTube to Great Pyramid K 2019. It's 3.5 hours long. I know that's a long, but
no, that's not too long.
Yeah, especially to me, it's not either, because once I'm into it, the only part I fast forward is when these two Caucasians are sailing across the Atlantic, proving that it could be done. You know.
Okay, I'll fast forward that part too.
Yeah, do that. And then the other one, sister, is the Exterminate All the Brutes, HBO. It's an HBO piece, Exterminate All the Brutes. It's by a brother named Raoul Peck, P-E-C-K. And he he's Haitian, Haiti, and lived many places around the world, and he's made a number of documentaries. But this is another four-hour, they're in hour segments, and it's very well done. And I'll be talking about this, so if you get a chance to watch it, so you can join the conversation on Friday, okay?
Oh, I say.
All right, Bibi Fortier. Mama Nabantu.
Yes, chime in with Sister Haiba.
Yeah.
Your radio show needs to be across the country for this type of awareness. You know, for what's happening in the public school systems, you know, the way we started with African Center School, we started with an after-school program, and we ended up with a Saturday school program, and then parents just begged us to make it a full-time program. That's how we got started.
Right on.
But before we just started with the after-school program, we went door-to-door talking to parents about what's happening in the public school system, mm-hmm. and why it's necessary for their children to go to our after school and Saturday school program. And that's how we generate, you know, the people and the parents to come to our schools. The mindset of our folks right now is not there. And so we got to create a way to move that mindset back to what our children need. And like you said, we're not going to school just to get a bigger house and a car and all right. that. We have to liberate our people. And I know it's, you know, you're about out of time, but I just want to throw that in.
Well, thank you, Mama Labonte. Appreciate you, too. Brothers and sisters, that is, she's right. My time is up. And I always appreciate those who listen and those who call in. And I'm hoping that you'll join us again on Wednesday. Like I said, on Friday, we'll talk about the documentary, Exterminate All the Brutes, which is a documentary expressing brutality of Europeans and European colonization worldwide. And hopefully that you'll get a chance to watch it, and hopefully you'll get a chance to. Wait a minute, we have one more caller. 505. 505, good afternoon. We'll take this last call. Extend ourselves. 505. 505, good afternoon. Okay. They don't have it. Brothers and sisters, we end this program like we end all of our programs with the words of Stephen Biko. The most potent weapon in the hands of the oppressor is the minds of the oppressed. This program is dedicated and committed to helping to free the African mind, but not just the M-I-N-D, but the M-I-N-E, because under the feet of African people lies all of the resources that everybody wants, think they can't do without, and they sure in the hell don't want to pay for. Brothers and sisters, you have a blessed and wonderful day. Shem Hotep means go in peace. Asante Sana means thank you. Bivahodie. Bivahodie means our victorious destiny. Brothers and sisters, we will be victorious. You have a great day and be back with us on Wednesday. Peace.